Hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul, my co-host on location from his house, Justin Baker. Justin, how you doing?
I'm fantastic on location.
A lot of trades, a lot of things to get to. We really don't have a lot of time to just talk about random things. There are, I think, maybe 15 trades so far since the last time we talked on Friday. So let's on the 19th. So let's get started. Actually, we had talked about the Wings trading Mrazek to the Flyers before it even happened. So, you know, there's just a little bit of it shows how great we are. You know,
that clearly
a conditional fourth and a conditional third. He goes to Philadelphia and actually has a great first game. Wins 2-1 for them and made over 30 saves, and yeah, he looked great for them. I think it's a great move for the Flyers. I know that Ron Hextall said that his team deserved a starting goalie with what happened in their two guys going down, and Hurley said, "Hey, we deserve this. We're not going to give up a whole lot of pieces." I think that the Flyers are probably done making moves, but they have played well enough to where they deserved a starting goalie.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you at all. I think the biggest thing is the whole conditions of these conditional picks, whether or not they work out well for the Red Wings or not. I am a little concerned that they might end up getting stuck with just a fourth rounder, but two games, two wins for Mrazek, and I think he'll hit that 5-win mark to turn that first fourth rounder into a third rounder at the very least.
Yeah, which, you know, I heard somebody talking about, it was actually just, it was in a bar, and they're like, how did they only get a third-round pick for Mrazek? I was like, well, Ben Bishop only got a fifth-round pick last year.
Yeah, so very true.
And goaltenders just don't go for a whole lot. So, I mean, I think that, yeah, if they can get a third-round pick, then it's solid. I mean, even a fourth. What are the odds of a third-round pick making the NHL, maybe 20%?
Even if so, I mean, you look at it, the Wings were just going to dump him off at the end of the year anyways. They weren't going to qualify him, and they weren't surely going to re-sign him. So,
right. Yeah, so, I mean, they at least get something for somebody who's kind of been a more or less a thorn in their side. They wanted him to be taken by Vegas in the expansion draft, and he wasn't. So, All right, we've spent too much time talking about Peter Mrazek. The next day at noon, the Bruins acquired Nick Holden from the Rangers for Rob O'Gara and a third-round pick. Thoughts?
It's a depth move, and I don't mind it at all. I don't think Boston got the favorable end of this deal because I'm not a huge Nick Holden fan myself. But for a third round pick, I guess that's the going rate for a depth defenseman at this time of the year.
And for a 5-6 guy,
So Boston paid it, and they got a guy who, you know, obviously Boston's got some aging veterans back there with Zdeno Chara and a lot of young guys, so. You know, here's a 30-year-old that can come in with a little bit of experience. You know, he's got some playoff time with the Rangers. And, you know, if, for instance, they have a Pittsburgh Penguins situation, it's not a bad move to have.
Not at all. The Rangers, this is their first move, and it certainly wasn't their last over the last week. Minor move, the Leafs send Eric Fair to the Sharks for a 7th-round pick. That explains itself, as did the Jakub Jerebek for a 5th-round pick in Montreal and Washington. The Kings, they get Scott Wedgwood and Tobias Reeder from the Coyotes for Darcy Kuemper. And then they would put Scott Wedgwood onto waivers.
Yeah, I think it's a great move for the LA Kings. Their bottom six need to get faster, and they certainly are going to get it out of Ryder. That's for sure. He'll bring a lot of speed, and he's shown in the past in Arizona. He's shown some flashes of, you know, that skill that it was touted, and so hopefully this will work out well for them. And I mean, more than anything else, obviously the Kings are just adding depth at the forward position. They get Jeff Carter back. I think right now they're poised to make a push for that wild card spot or even the third place spot. For that
Especially when you consider. But the Blues just lost their 6th straight game, and they're actually now they're talking about selling some pieces off that Blues team. When you know, at one point we were talking about how that Blues team was maybe the best team in the West. Now they are out of a playoff spot, which is crazy. The slide that they've had Brian Elliott, I was reading that Brian Elliott has, he's lost his last 12 starts, or he's like 11 and something in his last, and they've only scored like 19 goals for him over that span. Like less than 1.5 goals
Jake
a game.
Allen, right?
Or Jake Allen, I'm sorry, Jake Allen.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Jake Allen. So, yeah, they can't score, and yeah, it's kind of all crumbling apart for St. Louis. I think this is maybe more where I expected them to be, not the top of the league, but kind of pushing and clawing their way for a playoff spot. I think it could still happen, but they have not been getting the goaltending that they need. And LA, who's a point behind St. Louis, 2 points out of the playoffs, St. Louis is a team that I'm sure they'd love to jump. So one win, LA is back in third in the Pacific. So a move like that, I don't know if it really tips the scale much, but a percent or two maybe, and it's enough to get you an extra point and get you in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I wonder at what point too they maybe consider getting rid of Peter Stastny and trying to bring over some other scoring wingers and try to find some depth there on their third and fourth line. But I mean, they're gonna lose Peter Stastny at the end of the year because someone's gonna pay him, and I know it's not St. Louis, so you wonder if that's in the back of their mind. Maybe let's try to move him now that we're slipping out of contention at this point.
Yeah, you haven't heard Peter Stastny's name at all, and with him being a UFA, I mean, what better time to move him? I mean, look at we'll get to other moves down here in a little bit. But what other centermen have been able to fetch in this trade deadline time might be striking while the iron's hot for the Blues, especially if they're about to miss the playoffs. Let's keep going. So the Florida Panthers acquire Frankie Vetrano from the Bruins for a third-round pick. And, of course, the Bruins acquiring that third-round pick and now able to do some other things a little bit later, we'll find. Frank Vetrano to the Panthers. What are your thoughts on that?
Again, it's another depth move. I mean, they ride those top two lines really really hard. So, I mean, it wouldn't hurt them to get a little bit more scoring depth on those bottom two lines, especially because, a guy like Radim Verbata is not doing a whole lot in Florida. So, I mean, it'd be nice to find some scoring on those bottom six for them.
Absolutely. And apparently they are it's Tampa Bay and Florida really going at it for Ryan McDonagh. So, if Florida were to get Ryan McDonagh, I think that Florida actually is a playoff team. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I've been saying that for a few weeks now, that they're sneaky and that they could come back and jump all these teams because they played so few games, and they just keep buzzing along. So I think that the Panthers, they're definitely looking to buy, and they look good. They look like a team on the rise right now. So you think the Panthers could be a team that make more moves. The New Jersey Devils, a team who's really trying to hang on to a playoff spot, they trade a second round pick, and Yegor Rykov for Michael Grabner. So Michael Grabner going to the Devils, and my thoughts, Grabner adds some top nine scoring and an even strength scoring, which is something that the Devils definitely need. Every team needs a little more even strength scoring. And there's no doubt that Grabner he definitely pushes the button in the positive direction for the New Jersey Devils, who they're pretty securely in the playoffs. They're 7 points up on the Islanders right now. But you go into a little tailspin and anything can happen. So definitely adding Grabner. The Devils have used a lot of really young players that maybe have played over their heads. So bringing in Grabner maybe secures and solidifies that top nine.
Yeah, and you get a little bit more flexibility as well, too. A guy like, Brian Boyle, if maybe you have a situation where you need to rotate him up, now you don't have to really worry about that as much anymore, rotating lines as much, because now you got a guy like Grabner who solidifies a spot in that top six for them. And, right now, like you said, he's a guy that brings speed, which is what they love to play with at this point with all the young kids there. And I think he'll fit in quite well.
And if you're keeping track at home, that's Rob O'Gara, a 2018 third-round pick, a 2018 second-round pick, and Yegor Rykov to the Rangers thus far. So they're beginning to acquire assets, and they will keep acquiring assets as we go. The weirdest trade probably thus far is the three-way trade between the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Ottawa Senators, and the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, what happened here? I'll read who acquires what, but then we'll actually talk about what happened. So the Penguins acquire Derek Brassard, Vincent, who they get from Ottawa, Vincent Dunn, and a third-round pick. The Ottawa Senators get Philip Gustafson, a first-round pick, and a third-round pick in 2019. So the first round comes in 2018 from Pittsburgh, and the 2019 comes from Pittsburgh in 2019. And then the Vegas Golden Knights get Ryan Reeves from the Penguins, who, good Lord, the Penguins gave up a first-round pick for him. And I guess good on them for going, okay, we screwed up. We shouldn't have done that. And so they just got rid of him. And then a fourth-round pick in 2018. So the Penguins get their third-line center. But really what happened was Derek Brassard actually got traded to the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Vegas Golden Knights took half of his salary over the course of his contract and then traded him to the Penguins. And that's why the Penguins give up Reeves in a fourth-round pick. So I actually think that the Golden Knights maybe didn't give up or didn't get enough for giving up that cap space, personally.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with you, but maybe, you know, Vegas is not necessarily a place that you or a team that you want to think about being tough to play against. So maybe this move for them, say, hey, you know, if for some reason we decide we want to add a little bit of toughness, we got Ryan Reeves, we can throw him in that fourth line. He's not a bad mix if you want to, you know, give him a few minutes down there. He wouldn't be the worst thing. But for me, if I'm Vegas, I'm not putting any forwards on any of my lines. I'm not changing a thing. I mean, outside of injury, because they're clicking on all cylinders. But also, don't forget too, the Ottawa Senators are going to get Ian Cole back in that deal as well.
And they're talking about flipping him. He's probably not going to end up on their team long term.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's a situation where, you know, maybe a month and a half ago, you hear all this negativity coming out that Ian Cole wants out. He's going to get moved at some point. Then things sort of cool back down, and you didn't really hear much. You thought, okay, but he's back in the good graces of coaching staff, and he's out there playing more minutes. And then out of nowhere, I mean, obviously this was probably a piece that the Senators, again, like you said, thought that they could flip, so it was worth the acquisition.
Right. So just as far as the Penguins go, they traded away their first-round pick last year for Ryan Reeves. They trade away their first-round pick for 2018, and they trade away Ryan Reeves. And so essentially you can say the Penguins basically gave up two first-round picks, a third-round pick for Derek Brassard.
Yeah.
That is a heavy price to pay for a third-line centerman. That was a bad calculation, obviously, with Reeves, and they're trying to make up for it. But now the Penguins, coming into this next draft, they have their own second-round pick, Ottawa's third-round pick, and then they have their own fifth, sixth, seventh, and the Red Wings' fifth-round pick. So they have been short on first-round picks, and so they better hope that they can draft some good players late in the draft because, you know, 2-3 years down the road, the cupboards are looking pretty bare for the Penguins at this point.
Yeah, and good on them, though, for making a push. You hope that the situation that's going on with Chicago doesn't happen with them in a few years, but, like, for instance, I mean, they're blessed to have such a good goaltending pool right now because Philip Gustafson was regarded as one of the top goaltending prospects out there right now. And lucky for them, they got Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry.
Right,
young
right.
Guys
doesn't matter.
Who are playing pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, the Penguins, of course, you got Crosby and Malkin are on the way to dipping a little bit. I mean, you know, they're not going to lead the league in scoring anymore, and that just is what it is. And they still have an excellent core, but maybe, I mean, at this point, they're going for a three-peat, and they look pretty darn good. They are peaking at the right time. I think that acquiring Derek Brassard finally gives the Penguins some depth, and Connor Sheary doesn't have to play on their third line anymore.
Right, and correct me if I'm wrong, too. Funny little tidbit. I don't think the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s ever had a three-peat of their own.
The Oilers,
as they were.
The Oilers did not. The last team to win three in a row would be the New York Islanders. Then when they won four in a row, and then, of course, the Canadians won five in a row before that. So, yes, it has been quite some time that it – I mean, even – you got to look in 1999, when the Red Wings were going for a three-peat, they made it to the conference finals that year, and they lost to the Dallas Stars, right? They make the conference final? Yeah. So, I mean, that's the closest we've gotten to a three-peat. And I think there's a great chance of it happening this year, but it's still, I mean, anything can happen, obviously. But, okay, let's keep rolling. The Edmonton Oilers, they trade Brandon Davidson to the New York Islanders for a third-round pick, and the Islanders get a little depth on defense, which they desperately need.
Yeah, and second year in a row, too, that Brandon Davidson's been flipped for a mid-level draft pick, so kind of funny.
Yeah. He can become the next Mike Sillinger, perhaps.
Right.
Now the big one. Rick Nash sent to the Boston Bruins, and the Rangers get five pieces. So they get a first-round pick in 2018, Ryan Spooner, Matt Beleski, Ryan Lindgren, and a seventh-round pick in 2019. So we all expect that seventh-round pick to be the next Datsyuk. And, okay, so there's a lot of people that think that the Rangers paid, or the Bruins paid way too much for Rick Nash. I'm curious as to what you think. Did the Bruins give up too much?
Well, first off, you know, when you look at this deal, the first thing that pops in my mind is looking at Matt Beleski and his disgusting contract. Now, luckily, after I saw this deal, so the Rangers are going to, for this season, because it is last year of his deal, they're going to keep 50% of Rick Nash's cap hit. However, for the Boston Bruins, they are retaining half of Beleski's contract, which runs two more additional seasons after this. So when you look at it from that end, you have a guy, Matt Beleski, who's a former... Yeah, I mean, he was a decent goal scorer he had a good couple seasons there. But a guy who could basically come in, play some fourth line minutes for them. And at one point, I think it's $1.9 million, something like that. It's not that bad looking anymore. And then Ryan Lindgren, they don't actually have him signed. They just own the rights to him. But given that they're getting Spooner back, a first-round pick, I actually like this deal from a Ranger standpoint and not so much from a Bruins, just because I think while Ryan Spooner is a pretty good, you know, second line, third line guy, I don't think the Boston Bruins necessarily got that much better where it was worth giving up so many pieces. You know, a young kid, Spooner, who, you know, has the potential to grow a lot more, potential, you know, late mid first round draft pick.
And Spooner has potential. He's a top six forward. So, I mean, you gave up a top six forward to acquire a top six forward, and you give up a first round pick. And so you're banking on Nash being significantly better than Ryan Spooner. I think that what you're banking on is that Rick Nash is reignited now that he's on a really good team. But, I mean, he's not going to play with Bergeron, Pastrnak, or Marchand, right?
No.
It's just a matter of now who's Nash going to play with. Where does he fit in, and who's he going to, you know, and you assume, well, he play in the second line, but you assume that, and you assume that he'll play well with the other pieces they have around him, but you don't know. And so they took a big risk, but at the same time you go, well, Marchand's, what, 30? And Bergeron's 34? And Krejci's 35? And Pastrnak's the only young guy, but... And Chara's 41, 40, so they have to go for it. And this is probably the last time with this core that they maybe have a great shot.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I mean, first off, just a quick edit. Krejci's actually only 31, so not that old yet, but he is on the wrong side of 30. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. For a guy that they're paying 7.25, he is definitely... not worth the money, but...
Now the Rangers did give, or are paying half of Nash's salary, too.
So. Yeah, they are. So he's only coming in at 3.9. Not you know, unreasonable, but you look at... The only problem I have with this deal from the Boston standpoint is right now they're not breaking up that top line. That's definitely not going anywhere. So now you look at where you want to put him. If you put him on that second line with David Krejci and it doesn't really work out so well, you definitely do not want to stick him on the third line with David Backes.
It seems like the other options are just everything is going to be slow.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's exactly where I was going. Like, you do not want to slow down that third line with, I mean, Backes is, you know, not fast at all. So you got your grinder power forward type already on that line, so you can't throw another one on there in today's NHL.
Yeah, we'll see how Nash lines up with Krejci. Really, that's the And as of right now, I mean, I was actually shocked at how quickly Nash was able to join the team. And I guess, obviously, you're going from New York to Buffalo. It's not that far. But very strange to get traded at, you know, he got traded at 9:30 a.m. And he's playing for the Sabre or for the Bruins at 5 p.m. Like, why not just say, hey, just take your time. We don't need you for this game. All is good. Take your time. We're going to get you settled in and have him play the next game. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. The Bruins play in 2 days. They play in Boston. They could have just had him go straight to Boston. Instead, they have him come to Buffalo. They're losing 4-1 to Buffalo. So I think that maybe that was a mistake. Bringing him, having to move that quickly. He's never played with the team, never practiced with them. You're just going to throw him out there and see what you have. I don't like that. So it's obviously not working out for them tonight, but I think in the long run, you're not going to look at it and go, wow, Nash was horrible. He didn't score any goals for the Bruins. I think that it's just going to go, wow, look what Ryan Spooner turned into and look what they got with that first round pick. That is always the risk. Okay. Well, that's a lot of the Rangers have acquired a first, a second, a third, and a seventh, and five players. So they're
not a bad haul.
Doing pretty well so far, and you maybe see a couple McDonough go moving. So they've acquired all that, and they haven't even moved McDonough. So we'll see if he gets moved between today and tomorrow. And that takes us to the Toronto Maple Leafs, where they deal Renat Valiev, Kirby Reichel, and a second-round pick for longtime Montreal Canadian Thomas Plekanec, and not even a prospect, just minor leaguer Kyle Bonn, who happens to be the grandson of Bobby Bonn, who scored the Stanley Cup winning goal he scored the goal to tie it, I think, in Game 6. Or to win it in Game 6 to send it to Game 7 on a broken leg, all that good stuff. But Kyle Bonn won't be re-signed next year. But Thomas Plekanec comes in, and I think he'll be a nice fourth-line center for the Leafs and be able to kill some penalties. But, I mean, you're like Matthews, Kadri, and probably Bozak down the middle, and then Plekanec. But it does give you some options.
Yeah, and what I'm kind of curious about now, I mean, I wonder if there one or two things, you know, are they looking at Matthews and his injury and saying this might be worse than we thought it was, and so let's bring in another center
in case? I don't think so at all.
Okay, good.
Not at all. I think that they're going, it's not a good injury. I mean, no injury ever is, but I think that they go, okay, you know, they'll take their time. I definitely think that it helps because now he can come up and he can play in a top nine role, and Matthews, apparently this injury, it's a grade 2 shoulder separation, which is a 2 to 4 week recovery. So whatever, you go, okay, we're just going to hold you out even a week maybe after, just to make sure all is good. And we're going to, you know, really take our time with this because we don't need you right now, because that's why, you know, maybe a reason why you're willing to get a Plekanec. But I think they would have gotten Plekanec either way, because Mike Babcock doesn't really like Dominic Moore. And I think that when you look at the way that their penalty kill is structured, and you have Ron Hainsey, who's played an inordinate amount of penalty killing time, Roman Polak, who's out there all the time, you know, they like to have these same guys on their penalty kill. Thomas Plekanec is going to come in and he's going to kill penalties. I think that's going to be his number one main role. And he's a good defensive forward, and so penalty kill it is. He can win some faceoffs. If we take a look at his, you know, some of his advanced statistics, he's only starting this season in 60 games. Offensive zone starts, he's only starting 41% of the time in the offensive zone, yet he has a Corsi percentage 4 of 51.9. So he's doing very well despite playing a lot in the defensive zone and starting a lot in the defensive zone. So that bodes well, I think, for the Leafs. And I think that Babcock needs somebody he can trust. Just like last year with Brian Boyle. I mean, in the playoffs, they throw Boyle in, and Boyle would just come right out after taking a draw, and in comes, you know, Nylander, or Marner or whoever.
Oh, sure. And on a side note, too, let me ask you. Now, with Bozak and JVR coming up on UFA, does this open up the door for maybe one of them to move out before the deadline tomorrow?
If the Leafs acquire Ryan McDonagh, I think that JVR has to be a part of the deal.
Okay.
That's that, you know, which is weird because he's a UFA, but I wonder if the Rangers...
A sign and trade, maybe?
Yeah, are willing to go, hey, we'll bring you in, and maybe there's some conditions. I don't know, but I would think that JVR has to be one of their chips, right? I mean, he's... So, or maybe it's some sort of three-way trade where the Leafs send JVR somewhere else and McDonagh comes to the Leafs and that other team kind of pays some of the price and then more go to the Rangers from the Leafs. Sure. I don't know. But I would think that JVR has to be involved just based on the prospects that the Leafs have. My guess is that the Rangers would be looking for a defensive prospect to come back their way. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking... Do the Leafs want to trade a Travis Dermott? I don't think so. I don't want to trade a 23-year-old budding defenseman for a guy who's 30 and, you know, is he could leave after next year. So I don't think it's worth giving up the future when you look at what Boston and Tampa Bay are trying to do.
Sure. I get that.
So, but I think that Plekanec is a nice – I mean, they give up a second-round pick. Renat Valuev and Kirby Reichel are just pieces that the Leafs, they weren't ever going to make the Leafs anyways. So really moot points there. They may go on and play for the Canadiens a little bit, but I don't think that they're difference makers in the NHL.
Sure.
So, okay. Edmonton Oilers acquire Pontus Aberg from the Nashville Predators. The Predators get a fourth round pick and the Blue Jackets get Mark Letestu from the Oilers. So little three-way trade going on. And I think the Oilers actually get the Oilers had made the best deal here for them because they acquire a guy who at least has potential to be a top nine forward, and they get rid of Mark Letestu, who is slow and he kind of fits perfectly with that slow Blue Jackets idea, and then the Predators get the fourth round pick for a guy that was maybe clogging up their system a little bit. Just wasn't going to ever fit in with the team, and the Oilers get their speed that they need.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, and then the Predators go and they acquire Brandon Bolig and Troy Grosinek from the San Jose Sharks for a sixth-round pick. And that is all the trades that have happened thus far.
Yeah, I'm waiting for some more big names to come off the board here in the next 24 hours.
I thought you were going to say in the next 20 minutes while we're talking. there definitely has been a lot happening. And, okay, let's throw this out. Which team has gotten the most better? I don't know, that's not the way to say it, but who has improved the most? There we go.
Okay, fair enough. In my opinion, you gotta go with Pittsburgh right off the bat. I think solidifying a third-line center for them is just gonna go miles. I mean, don't get me wrong, Riley Sheahan is a very capable bottom six forward, but a third line center when you're trying to match up down the middle with a bunch of these teams now that are loading up three lines, I don't think he was capable of really pushing them far in the playoffs on that third line. And now they got a guy with speed who can handle faceoffs both in the offensive defensive zone, who can keep up now with Phil Kessel will probably look good feeding him the puck. So I think for me, the Pittsburgh Penguins got to look the best so far.
All right. They replace. Why can't I think of his name? The guy that went to Nashville,
Nick Bonino.
Nick Bonino. There you go. So replace him on that line, Hagelin and Broussard and Kessel, and there you go. You got a repeat of 2016. I got to say that the Bruins probably still come out. Now they gave up a lot more to acquire some of these guys, but I would think that the Bruins getting Rick Nash. We haven't talked about the fact that they signed Brian Gionta, who yep. I know he didn't do much in the Olympics, but let's talk about how nobody expected Brian Gionta, who isn't exactly the most fleet of foot guy, to dominate on the giant ice of the Olympics. I wasn't expecting anything that way, but I think that he can still be an effective fourth liner. bring some experience. And, you know, when you get those guys in the playoffs, there are those guys where you look back to this time of year and you go, wow, that one flew under the radar. Nobody's really paying attention to that move. Everyone's mm-hmm. paying attention to Rick Nash. Nobody's paying attention to Brian Gionta. Watch Brian Gionta get some big goal at some point and make it look like they made a good move. $700,000, easy. And they also get Nick Holden. So I think that, yes, the Penguins acquired one good piece, whereas the Bruins were able to really patch some things up, and it sets them up to, you know, they go through some injuries. Let's say one of those top guys, Marchand gets suspended, and suddenly you need to bring Rick Nash up to that top line. I think Rick Nash could still look pretty good with those two guys. So.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you.
As much as I don't like the trade, I still think that Rick Nash is a good player. He's just not. Sure. He's not, maybe not the difference maker that they paid for, but he's still a good player and maybe better than, a little better than somebody that they could have stuck up there. I think what we're waiting for, we're just waiting for Erik Karlsson to get dealt, right? I mean, that trade, it'll be there has never been a trade like that. When's the last time a player of Karlsson's ilk was traded?
That I think you might have to go back to
Wayne Gretzky.
Maybe, well, I don't know. I mean, I could probably go back maybe as far as Joe Thornton when he got moved from Boston.
Okay. That's,
you could throw his name out.
That's fair. And it's funny because Joe Thornton, what was he traded for? He was traded for peanuts almost.
Yeah, just about.
It was, I can think of the guy's name, but yeah, it's escaping me. I know that they got a first round pick, and here we go. December 1st, 2005. Marco Sturm, that's what I'm thinking of. So they got Marco Sturm, yes. Wayne Primeau, and Brad Stewart for Joe Thornton.
That's crazy.
Which that was an awful trade. An awful trade for the Bruins to make. The Bruins have traded some very good players. You know, they've traded Joe Thornton, Phil Kessel, Dougie Hamilton, some really good player, and
Tyler Seguin.
Oh yeah, how can I forget Tyler Seguin for good old Louis Erickson? So yeah, they have a history of trading away good players. But I don't know. Even so, Joe Thornton at the time, people were saying, he's good, but how good is he really? And there was a lot of question marks about his toughness. You know, this was still back during the bullcrap of, oh, is he tough enough to win in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. The Bruins just weren't very good. Of course, he ended up leading the league in scoring that year. But was Joe Thornton at the time, would anybody say that he was top three in the league?
No, I don't think you would go that far, but I think maybe close to top 10 would be fair for him at that point.
Okay, well, that's fair, yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at Joe Thornton, and then maybe before that you'd have to go with Wayne Gretzky's trade in the summer of 88, something like that.
Yeah.
So do you think Karlsson's going to get moved?
I don't think we're going to see him get moved by tomorrow. I would not be surprised, and actually I would be shocked if he does not get traded at the draft when some cap space opens up, because I know Ottawa is going to really push hard for teams to take Bobby Ryan's contract. And it's funny because one team I keep hearing his name floated around with is Karlsson going over to Vegas. Uh-huh. And there's a team with some cap space that if they maybe let a guy like James Neal walked during the summer, now they find the cap space to not only take on, maybe even if they want to take on half of Bobby Ryan's contract, I'm sure Ottawa would be up for that. And they got the cap space too to figure out how to re-sign Karlsson too, so that could be dangerous.
That would be fascinating to see what happens. But I gotta think, you know, somebody was asking me, would the Leafs trade for Karlsson? And I said, I think you'd have to give up Marner or Nylander for Karlsson. And man, even as good as Karlsson is, do you really want to give up on those guys for Karlsson?
Right, and does Karlsson make your team that much better than one of those guys in the lineup?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I also saw a thought that was, trade Nyquist or Tatar, your two first round picks, the one from this year and the one next year. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't remember what prospect, a Wings prospect for Carlson. They said, I would do this today because I could build around Erik Karlsson and you could, you know, have a contending team within 3 years because of Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, I don't hate that idea. I think for the Wings, though, the only issue they have right now is the cap space to re-sign him.
Right. They would have to be able to send some bad contracts Ottawa's way, which Ottawa doesn't want to do. That's the problem. Ottawa wants to get rid of a bad contract along with Erik Karlsson. But the problem to me, you can't just trade Erik Karlsson as a part of a salary dump.
Right.
You will get destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. People, nobody goes to those games as it is.
Yeah. And I think if you're Ottawa management, you have to strike gold on this deal when you move him. You have no other choice because, I mean, maybe unless you get Rasmus Dahlin in the draft, you have to get something gigantic in return, or else the few fans that show up for those games are going to burn that arena down.
Yeah, I think he's going to get moved. I really do. If you're Ottawa and you go, okay, what is the point in keeping him now? You will get more now than you will get at the draft, in my opinion. You'll get more. And you don't need him now. You don't need him right now. You need to lose if you're Ottawa. You need to keep on dropping, and you need to get that first overall pick, or at least in the top three because of the players available. So I think people could, if they were able to acquire an A-level prospect, a first-round pick, a good roster player, a good defenseman, you know, some defenseman that maybe is in a team's top four that they have to move. And you were able to then get a top three pick in the draft, and then you use that to draft an exciting player, and suddenly your team in 18 months, you're able to really turn things around because of, you know, acquiring, they have multiple first round picks for this next year's draft. And so I think that if you're Ottawa, you can turn this around in 18 to 24 months, but you have to be, you have to get everything for Karlsson. Everything.
Yeah.
So, okay. Apparently they are working hard to get Karlsson, Ottawa and Erik Karlsson working hard to get a deal. That's according to Elliot Friedman on Hockey Night in Canada. And we know that the Tampa Bay Lightning are probably leading the way. They're going to have to give up Braden Point, Yanni Gourde, Namestnikov. I don't think they're giving up Sergachev.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But you got to think that one of those players has to go.
Yeah, and I actually wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Tyler Johnson goes too.
But Ottawa's not going to – Ottawa isn't going to want to acquire Tyler Johnson. What's the point? You just got rid of Derek Brassard. Now you're going to bring in Tyler Johnson. Plus, Steve Yzerman said he doesn't want to make his team worse. He doesn't want a lateral move. So I think that he's going to try and package – all the prospects and get Erik Karlsson. If you have Erik Karlsson and Victor Hedman, and you don't even have to, you wouldn't play them together. You'd have Karlsson come out, and he's coming out with Sergachev, and then
oh my gosh,
and then you have Victor Hedman come out with I can't think of his name right now.
Strawman. Yeah,
and you just rotate those guys in and out. It doesn't even matter who you put with them. Erik Karlsson made Dion Phaneuf look very good, if that's any consolation. So,
now here's another scenario too. If you're a team trying to trade for him, another reason why I think that it might go to the draft is because on July 1st, you can, if you're a team looking to bring him over, you can get him re-signed and do a sign and trade and get him signed on an 8-year deal instead of trying to get him for 7 years.
Yes, this is true. My assumption would be that if you're going to make that deal, you're sitting down with Erik Karlsson and you're going, we want to make this trade, but we need to know that you'd be committed to our team and that you would, you know, obviously we can't talk contract negotiations, but that you'd be willing to negotiate with us. And if we pay you the way that you deserve to be paid, that you're not just going to bail. Have to be some level of that would be in the conversation. You're not just giving up the farm for a guy who is only going to be there for a year and 3 months.
Right, and here's another scenario to throw at you too. You know, Carlson apparently is playing hurt right now. Obviously, he is not skating like his old self. If you're another team looking to, you know, unload the farm system and some draft picks for him, are you going to maybe wait now till next season and see how he does, see if he heals up, skates a little bit better like his old self before you make that move too?
Man, that's hard. You might be able to get him on a teensy bit of a discount because of it.
Sure.
Only a teensy bit, though. Teensy. Now, here's another interesting potential. Someone trades for Erik Karlsson, and then next year at the deadline goes, we're just going to trade you at the deadline because he won't re-sign with them. And then they just go in and recoup assets. So imagine let's say Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay trades for Erik Karlsson, and they go, they win the cup. And then Erik Karlsson doesn't really want to be in Tampa Bay. And they go, okay, well, we're just going to trade you at the deadline. And they could basically get back everything they traded the following year.
Yeah, that's very true.
So I think there are some options. If he's not going to sign with you later, you could always flip him and turn it into multiple draft picks or prospect, good players, you know, whatever you want to do. You could flip him for a very good forward. So I think there are some options too. With that, anything else you want to say about our boy Erik Karlsson? We'll see what happens here in the next little bit. But
no, but speaking of Ottawa, though, I know Johnny Oduya was looking to be moved, and now they put him on waivers, so you might see him get picked up soon.
Yeah. I mean, not a bad little pickup for somebody who is looking for a little defensive depth. He's a little slow, but that's where I think a Western Conference team would be a better pickup for Johnny Oduya. The Ducks did sign Chris Kelly after the Olympics, so he's the other player out of there to get re-signed back in the NHL, Brian Gionta, and then Chris Kelly. So he gets 1.25 plus bonuses.
Oh, wow.
So he actually got a decent deal from the Ducks. My guess is that he'll play on the third line for the Ducks. And, you know, he actually did look pretty good in the Olympics, and he had 3 points. And so I think that Chris Kelly could, is he going to be a difference maker? No. Could he chip in somewhere along the line on the penalty kill or something? Sure. I don't hate the move. It doesn't cost the Ducks a thing.
Right. And speaking of re-signing, rumor is sometime, I think in the next 24 hours, we should expect Mike Fisher to re-sign with Nashville.
Yes. His 1 year, $1 million,
eh? Yeah, that'll definitely provide a lot of defense or offensive depth for them now that they're loaded down the middle.
Right, absolutely. So there's another little deadline acquisition for the Predators. And when you think about it, you go Mike Fisher or Rick Nash. I'd rather keep my prospects and just sign a Mike Fisher who's going to come in. And my assumption is that he's going to be right along the same level as he was last year. He's not much of a goal scorer, but he can definitely chip in a lot of different ways. And guys just love him. So
yeah.
KHL's Kovalchuk, he said he does intend to sign in the NHL, which I think we all assumed, but he will be a free agent at the end of this year. So I think that he was talking about wanting to play in New York or Florida. So
I don't think he's going to go to the Rangers, only because I think he's ready and he's in win now mode.
Of course, he's 34 years old. Yeah. Although Florida wouldn't be a bad place, it was a great spot for Jaromir Jagr, and maybe he comes in and, you know, there's just got to be something about an older guy who comes into a place that's really nice to live, and it was warm and relaxing. You don't have to worry about the cold. You know, and it's funny because 34, it's not that old, but I mean, there is something about being in Florida that just changes the game. So,
no state tax either.
Yeah, there you go. Tampa Bay has taken advantage of that, but I don't think you've seen Florida take the same, at least not public stance on like, hey, you don't have to pay any taxes, so we can give you less money and you're going to get the same amount of money. I feel like that maybe should be a strategy that they undertake. There's so much, so many moving pieces, and you know, I don't know. Is there any particular player that you think is going to move? Do you think that Ryan McDonough is going to get moved, or is it just that team, you know, the Rangers are kind of trying to figure out maybe what he's worth, but then end up dealing him later.
You know, I think this is going to be a situation where you're going to see a lot of defensemen go right at the deadline, i.e. like a Mike Green and Ryan McDonough, just because I think right now at this point, the market is sort of, I don't want to say not hot, but it definitely isn't heated up for defensemen right now. And I think once you see one of those guys move, I think now you're going to see, again, a team like the Rangers say, hey, okay, now we know we can get this from him and we're going to move him. But I also, one rumor I was hearing about that just, I'm hoping that we see get moved, because I would be so interested, especially because you and I both think they're a playoff bound team, is Max Pacioretty moving to Florida is what I keep hearing.
Yes, I would. I would not hate that. I feel like, why the Canadians keep torturing this man? I feel like he's been on the trade block for 4 years.
Yes.
I just think that it's got to be about time. But my guess is the Canadians are asking for a lot. You look at what Rick Nash just fetched. So you're looking at a first round pick. You're looking at a top six forward, or somebody who has at least maybe a top nine forward with the potential of being a top six, a prospect, and a fifth round pick. That's probably what I would imagine the Habs are looking for. So I think that that's a high price to pay. Especially at this time of the year, where the last thing you want to do is get rid of a top nine forward. I'm surprised that the Bruins did it. You know, I'm surprised that they were willing to give up Spooner. Like, if I look at that deal and I look at it without Spooner, I think that's a pretty good deal for both teams. With Spooner in there, I think that it's a robbery for the Rangers.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's one of those moves, just like the Ottawa Duchesne and Turris trade, where you know, maybe the team's not getting that much better, but maybe you as a GM or management, you're just that high on this guy and maybe not as high on that guy as you used to be. So, you know, maybe it's a situation where he's fell out of favor with some of the Boston management and they figured, hey, maybe we can get just slightly better. So let's go and pick up a guy who we know is going to, you know, give us a little bit more when it comes playoff time than maybe a guy like Ryan Spooner.
Yeah, and I mean, they've been drafting like crap anyway, so just might as well give up that first round pick. So Evander Kane is probably the last big name that we've yet to talk about. He has been on the trade block for seemingly months and months. The Sabres have not been good for years, but Kane was having a really hot start. He slowed down, but I still think that, again, if Rick Nash fetched a first, a roster player, a prospect, and a low draft pick, I mean, Kane should five assets for Kane too, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Kane is probably assets. more efficient offensively than Rick Nash is at this point in his career.
Yeah, and I think if you're a GM, maybe you're worried about the only thing that would concern me as a general manager is maybe his attitude. I know we haven't heard much about him being problematic in that area in the last, I don't know how many years, 18 months or so. Yeah, but you still, I mean, that's still in the back of your head if you're a general manager. I think maybe you're worried about upsetting the chemistry of your locker room if you're in a good spot right now. So maybe you're looking three or four good pieces to bring over a guy like that instead of five.
Honestly, like a Florida Panthers kind of team where he's going to go and have no pressure. I think I've seen Calgary in on Evander Kane. I think that'd be a terrible fit. I don't think he should be anywhere near where people care about hockey.
Right.
Not that there's not people in Florida that don't care. But.
Yeah, right. Well, that's why I've been saying San Jose from the get-go, and I still think it's going to happen.
San Jose, I like it. Although the fans there are pretty passionate. So, but yeah, no, I like that. I know San Jose has been, I've heard San Jose connected with Carlson, connected with McDonough, connected with, Kane. So I usually when a team is in on that many things, something happens.
Right.
You know, they're obviously looking to add. They're right on the cusp of a playoff spot. You know, well, they're in the playoffs, but of course, you know, you go on a decent little losing streak, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. They've lost two in a row. If they drop a couple more, suddenly you're looking outside the playoffs, or you're in a wild card spot. So, I think that actually that's the sweet spot. Right where San Jose's sitting. San Jose's second place in the Pacific. Whoever you get to play, it's going to be Calgary, Anaheim, LA. I think that's a prime matchup for San Jose. And so they need to stay in that home ice advantage. They're great at home. 17-9-3 at home. They're fantastic at home. They're 16-12-5 on the road. So I think that if they can get it going in that series, I think they'd beat a Calgary. I don't see any problem for them against a team like LA. I think that they would handle them in the playoffs. So yeah, I think that they need to do what they can to keep afloat.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that that is going to do it for our Sunday show. We haven't talked about what we're going to do for Monday and Tuesday, but we will certainly be be back on as soon as possible. And, you know, hey, sometimes ads pop up and it happens. I could hear a little, I could hear a little bit of music, that's all. But it's fine. Yeah. Anything else you want to add before we head into the craziness of trade deadline day?
No, I'm gonna have my iPad next to my work computer. I'm gonna be watching stuff go down. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm not gonna work until 3 o'clock, so
wow. Must be nice.
I'm just gonna sit and just absorb what's happening. So
yeah, even still, it's funny, like it always cracks me up that even though the deadline ends at 3, for a couple hours afterwards, we still keep hearing about trades rolling in.
Yeah, because teams call in, and all they have to do is get in the queue before 3 o'clock, but then they can, you know, the trade might not go through until 4 o'clock. I remember one year when the Atlanta Thrashers traded Donald Audette to the Buffalo Sabres, and it was like 1 minute left, and they didn't actually get the trade in until 4. And at the time, Donald Audette was a solid 20-25 goal scorer. So I don't. Mm-hmm. Donald Audette. When's the last time you heard that name?
Wow. Yeah, never.
Never. All right. Well, there you go. Well, okay. So looking forward to trade deadline. We will talk to you very soon and break down everything that happens during trade deadline. Enjoy, everybody.